Just hours before his summit with Vladimir Putin in Alaska, Donald Trump picked up the phone and called Alexander Lukashenko of Belarus. After they spoke, the U.S. president declared that they'd had a wonderful talk and that they were discussing the potential release of another 1,300 political prisoners. Lukashenko has been in power since 1994, and he has a long history of putting his political opponents behind bars. He's also been isolated on the international stage since 2020, when he claimed victory in yet another disputed presidential election, and in the face of massive pro-democracy protests, began a brutal crackdown on dissent that's ongoing to this day. Belarus's leading human rights group, Vyasna, has recognized more than 4,000 political prisoners since the start of the 2020 presidential campaign. As of this recording, more than 1,200 of them are still behind bars, and scores more have faced political persecution. The Trump administration has managed to negotiate several releases this year in exchange for easing sanctions. But human rights activists warn that Lukashenko has imprisoned more than 600 new political prisoners since 2024. According to Reuters sources, the Trump administration is now pushing for the biggest release yet in hope of freeing more than 100 political prisoners at once. But past experience shows that bringing Lukashenko in from the cold has its consequences. Welcome to the Naked Pravda. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the show. I'm Eilish Hart, your host for this episode and the editor of The Beat, Medusa's monthly newsletter that brings feature stories from Central and Eastern Europe, the Caucasus, and Central Asia straight to your inbox. For this episode of The Naked Pravda, I'm sharing something a little different, an interview recorded in person with Belarusian pro-democracy activist Andrei Sannikov. A veteran opposition politician, Mr. Sannikov ran against Alexander Lukashenko in Belarus's 2010 presidential election, a vote widely condemned for large-scale rigging. According to the official results, Lukashenko won by a landslide, and Mr. Sannikov was the distant runner-up. Opposition protests broke out immediately, and Lukashenko's regime responded with a violent crackdown on demonstrators and opposition figures, a pattern Belarus would repeat in 2020. Hundreds were arrested, including Andrei Sannikov, who was badly beaten by riot police and sentenced to 5 years in prison on charges of organizing mass unrest. Following his release from prison in 2012, Mr. Sannikov moved abroad, but he has continued his relentless fight for a free and democratic Belarus. Our conversation took place on the sidelines of the Halifax International Security Forum in November. And since it was my third time interviewing Mr. Sannikov at this annual event, we picked up right where we'd left off last year, talking about the plight of Belarusian political prisoners. Certain things had changed since we'd last spoken. Namely, Donald Trump began his second presidential term, and his administration opened up a channel of communication with Lukashenko, believing that he could help them get through to Vladimir Putin. In doing so, the Trump admin has managed to negotiate the release of dozens of political prisoners, including Sergei Tikhanovsky, the husband of exiled Belarusian opposition leader Svetlana Tikhanovskaya, who ran against Lukashenko in the 2020 presidential election. However, as Mr. Sannikov explains, Lukashenko is still arresting more people than he is releasing, and striking deals with Belarus in the hope of a political thaw just repeats yet another pattern that we've seen before. Because this interview was recorded in person and on my phone, you may hear the odd bump or rustling of pages. That's just me jotting down notes before I realized that this conversation would make a great podcast episode. I hope you'll forgive the background noise and enjoy the interview. Last time we were talking about the potential for prisoner releases, and now we see the Trump administration engaging directly with Lukashenko, and some prisoners have been released. So yeah, I wanted to start by asking you, what are your thoughts on this, the Trump administration starting to engage with Lukashenko? And
when everyone is released, I'm really happy for them, but unfortunately I cannot say that it's a good way to proceed, because Trump opened again the bargaining way for Lukashenko, and he is arresting more people than he is releasing. So unfortunately, it is the way to encourage Lukashenko to continue this hostage taking, to see it as a commodity, mm-hmm. Every prisoner. and to think so to bargain with the West and to get something, recognition, lifting sanctions, electoral choices for this kind of scheme. And, you know, Trump doesn't follow it and doesn't control the process because he said initially 1,300, Lukashenko released only like over 100. And if it goes with this pace, Trump will be gone, long gone, but the prisoners are out of this. The 1,400 prisoners will still remain. The demand should be all prisoners has to be released immediately because they are there for political reasons. Although Lukashenko's regime does not recognize it, but the international community does. And there are very clear criteria whom to consider political prisoners, whom not to consider them. Our human rights organizations can provide the list, which is not complete. We have about 10,000 political prisoners. Mm. For different reasons, the figure is much less because human rights organization doesn't want to increase this figure for some reasons. Families do not want to expose their relatives, fearing that they will suffer more, which is wrong attitude. Again, I'm happy when I hear any name of the people who are being released, but one more thing has to be added. They were not released. They were forcefully deported. And just yesterday I spoke with the people from the latest group, and there were 13 of them without passports. And now there are 11 of them, and they are not provided any legal status in Lithuania.
So they're just taken to the border?
They were taken to the border without any papers and Lithuania. And Lithuania is, you know, I'm asking them here, friends of Lithuania, Lithuanians themselves, please solve this issue because people are slaves now. They have no papers, they cannot move anywhere, they cannot do anything. And they are stateless. And, they don't want to apply for any citizenship, but they need residence permit. And it is not difficult to provide them with this.
In terms of reopening this channel with Belarus and re-engaging, what's in it for the Trump administration? Like, why do you think they've decided to do this?
Who was that call? The representative of the United States administration who said that we need information about Putin and channel to Putin by doing this. And I think it is cynical, but maybe correct that... they wanted to have some inner information. That's why they wanted to involve Lukashenko, engage him. But I think they are being misled about the honesty and ability of Lukashenko to provide him information. He's a compulsive liar, so he can be lying about himself, his own significance for Putin. And not providing any information. But that's how they cynically stated their purpose. And I don't agree with them, that they are not very much interested in Lukashenko. They're not very much interested, unfortunately, in the situation in Belarus. It's not their priority. It's not anybody's priority today. Not only after the war in Ukraine, but also after the new... the U.S. administration started to act quite unpredictably in many directions. So that's the state of affairs. But here, there is another aspect. Why Europeans are keeping silent?
I was going to ask about that next. Go ahead.
No, it's a pattern, you know. Trump offers his peaceful plan on Ukraine. Europeans are nowhere to be seen. Trump offers the scheme how to release political prisoners in Belarus. Europeans are not there. They simply praise, the Lithuanians praise the efforts of the Trump administration. But it is not helpful for us, you know, because we used to be hopeful that this tragic problem of big number of political prisoners is where Europe and the United States work together and agree on every point. And now we see these, you know, gaps, the attitude towards us, and we're not happy about that.
Earlier this week, Lukashenko apparently this was brokered by the Trump administration, but at Ukraine's request, he agreed to pardon and release some Ukrainian citizens held in Belarus. And I think we've seen this over and over again, where Lukashenko tries to insert himself in negotiations with respect to the war. Why do you think he keeps trying to do that?
He's playing a lip service to Ukrainians because he's always talk about the possible outcome of the war and possible development from Putin's, from Kremlin's position. He's telling his younger colleague Zelensky, Volodya, you have to stop, Volodya, you have to stop, you will be defeated. So that is additional pressure on Ukraine. And also he is a megalomaniac. He wants to be in the picture. He wants to show, without any reason, without any grounds, he wants to show that he is part of the process, that he is now on the power with President Trump and President Putin. So he is, there is, in his imagination, there's a holy three that decide the fate of the world. And that's Trinity, yeah. That is his normal behavior. It's nothing new for us in this behavior. But he's not contributing to anything. He's making things worse.
Do you think the Trump administration is like really creating an opening for Lukashenko to break the international isolation around Belarus?
Absolutely.
You think so?
Because they are talking about the Pope visit to Minsk. So I think, yes, Trump is opening channels, and now I see that even Poland and Lithuania, who closed the borders, and they didn't achieve anything, but they opened the borders. When I say didn't achieve anything, because I would like to see my friend Andrzej Paciorbut, the Polish journalist, Belarusian of Polish origin, journalist who is in prison for 5 years now, could be released. And that was the focus of Polish efforts. And that was the focus of Polish sanctions. But he is not released. And the borders are open. Why? Because Trump, they don't want to alienate Trump and his administration. So that's unfortunate because it really brings back the pattern, the worst pattern that we seen not once. Like Lukashenko taking hostages, bargaining, selling them, getting advantages from the West, and the situation is being worsening. Because we are now living in the concentration camp.
Does Belarus beginning to break out of isolation change the geopolitical dynamics for Putin at all?
I think yes, because Putin always wanted, Putin's interest to lift this burden from his budget. Because now he's obliged to support Lukashenko single-handedly, and he always was interested in some kind of recognition of Lukashenko so that the trade would continue with the West, so that the loans would be possible to alleviate this burden from Russian budget. So I think in this regard, yes, it will be definitely good for Putin, and he will get the best of these options, because he will control Lukashenko, and the part of the money will be spent by the West for his budget.
Has this changed the way that other Western countries are engaging with the pro-democracy forces in exile and the exile Belarusian opposition?
No.
No?
No, they continue stubbornly to support the group of Tikhanovskaya, which doesn't mean anything today for Belarusians. You probably heard about so many scandals around this group. So I think it is bad. It is, for me, it is the demonstration of corruption that exists in general in the Western aid to non-democratic countries. So no, the pattern hasn't changed. Unfortunately, because I think that Belarus is still the key country, as I told you every time we meet. And I can confirm it. I was speaking about it here, Halifax Forum, that it's a linchpin for the European security, that if they helped us to get rid of Lukashenko in 2010 and then in 2020, there would be no war in Ukraine. And everybody will be happy, will be moving towards European Union without alienating maybe Russia and But the failure of the West to see that we are opening windows of opportunities, not only for ourselves, but for European and international security, led to this unfortunate situation today, where we're in a tragic situation in the welcoming Europe in particular.
I was going to ask you how some of these political figures being released from Belarus has changed the dynamic in the exiled opposition and democratic forces abroad. Like, does Tikhanovsky coming back into public life change anything at this point?
He is producing a lot of chaos. In particular, there was his article in his op-ed in Washington Post.
In an op-ed for the Washington Post in November, Sergei Tikhanovsky argued that despite the messaging from the exiled opposition in recent years, it's naive to think that Belarus could join NATO or the EU. Instead, he argued that Cold War-era Finland offers a model of neutrality that could work. Quote, a neutral Belarus, free, sovereign, and non-aligned, could serve everyone's interests. It could provide a buffer without becoming a pawn, a stabilizing element rather than a flashpoint.
That is stupid to call for Finlandization. Calling for Finlandization of Euro of Belarus means playing in the hands of Russians, because it's not possible today. Such a scenario, it will mean that Russia will even control Belarus even stronger, and it will pave the way for the same pattern after Lukashenko is born, which might happen very soon. So he was just very instrumental in 2020, but it was actually our scenario of European Belarus, because we named our candidate, Nikolai Statkevich, who had no right, according to Lukashenko's law, to run, but we knew Nikolai was in Belarus, we agreed with him. And Nikolai started to form a team of so-called protest candidates, and Tikhanovsky was one of them. Tikhanovsky himself confirmed this. When he was released, he said that without Nikolai Statkevich, there will be no such political figure as Sergei Tikhanovsky. I'm very happy that he did this, because what he went through, I, who did see something and inside different prisons, I cannot imagine. And I think it is so. Since he'd been kept in a solitary confinement for most of the time in prison, he had so much energy of different kind inside himself that he had to get rid of this. But it was not always appropriate and not always understandable.
Measuring public opinion in Belarus at this point is extremely difficult, to say the least. But when Tikhanovskaya ran in 2020, European integration and these kinds of questions weren't part of her platform. Do you have a sense of how people inside Belarus would like to see the country's future? Like, does something like Finlandization of Belarus, is that something that people inside the country might be inclined towards?
Definitely. She was running, trying to make friends with Putin and rejecting the European Union, telling about neutrality blows. I don't want to lie to people. That's why I say always, okay, you learned this beautiful word, Finlandization, what it means. To stay neutral will require more than budget of Belarusian state today. Or even from this point of view, it is impossible. To stay with Russia, you will be a Russian colony, you will be part of Russia. It's impossible. It's already, I think, everybody understands this. Because Russia means trouble, Russian means war, and Belarus will reject war into Israel. Well, because we went through so many wars, and I think that we, the opposition in general, made a good job by explaining people what to do if Putin orders Lukashenko to send Belarusian to fight Ukrainians. Surrender and, if possible, switch sides. I think that people are now know this, and they will be ready for this. That is why, it is one of the factors why Putin doesn't give these orders. So I think that people have to be explained. Give me 1 month of free press and the situation will change completely with public opinion. 1 month, it will be enough. And it is not just theory, it is what was happening. When we had open press, when we had free press, when we almost had the possibility to have the TV, which was more or less objective and provided the possibility for every side to speak out. As a part of Belarusian opposition, I feel my obligation to tell people the truth and to promote the ideas and principles that I believe in, which is European Union, NATO, European values, democracy, human rights, like that. Nothing of this exists on Earth. Nothing. So I think the choice is clear. Yeah. The question of neutrality or something like Finland had with Soviet Union. Again, if somebody gives the money to Tikhanovsky and Tikhanovskaya, and they will, with these billions of dollars, they secure our neutrality, let them do it. I, as a responsible person, I cannot even think about it, because we have to have alliances. Mm. We have to have alliances to protect ourselves. Finland and Sweden, at the very first chance, immediately joined NATO. The states that have their security guaranteed, Sweden, that was spending billions and billions of Swedish crowns, and it was very well protected. They joined NATO because they wanted to guarantee their security, and they understood that neutrality does not guarantee security.
At least I personally find like there's not enough reporting on Belarus in international press, no, and sometimes it's hard to know sort of the ins and outs of what's going on inside the country. So what's on your radar that you feel like needs more coverage in terms of what's going on in Belarus?
Political prisoners. That's one first priority, of course, always, and I do everything which I can to help them to get out of the prison. Second, I think that it is not only that we are not on the radar anymore, but it's also unfortunate from the point of view that we have to have democratic world ready for the next opening of the window in Belarus. Mm-hmm. Because it will happen. And today it is clear that on our own, we will not be able to get rid of the dictators. I'm proponent of the non-violence resistance to help us to non-violently get rid of Lukashenko. It's doable. It's really doable. Lukashenko is not as big as he wants to portray himself in the West. And don't pay attention to any Russia, because it is one thing to hear from Putin that he is has a union with Lukashenko and Lukashenko best friend. And the other thing is hear from the democratic world that, Lukashenko depends on Putin. We don't want to reunite Putin more than he is already reunited with the Ukrainians' problems. So let us not interfere. It is not interference. It is, just helping the justice to prevail. Because in 2020, with the little help from the West, we could have achieved our goals.